Good evening. It was probably about 3 to 4 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, early in the morning, early Saturday morning, probably around about 3 or 4 o'clock, my bedroom door came open, and it wasn't a robber, it was my son Brian. He turned the light on, he stood there holding his chest, and he said he was having chest pains. So quickly we gathered everything together and we rushed him off to the emergency room at Grant. I kind of helped to carry him through and fill out some quick paperwork, and they set him down, and eventually they put him in a wheelchair and took him to a little bed, and they laid him out there, and they hooked all these wires and different little devices up to him. So the EKG tester ran on him. Different nurses and doctors came in. They checked his vision, made sure that was seeing okay. And they began to check his strength in both of his arms, left and right arm. Then they began to touch his arms, and they would ask him, "Can you feel this?" Touch your legs and ask him, "Can you feel this?" And then one of the doctors got down at the very bottom and took his feet and touched underneath his feet and asked, "Could you feel that?" Then he checked the left side of his arm and checked and see, could he feel that? After a couple of doctors and nurses had ran several tests on him, they drew a conclusion that Brian was not having a heart attack. And I was happy. So we sat there and we waited to see what was going on. And then they, after he had pulled a muscle there around his stomach and the pain was going around to his back and up towards his chest. But the good thing was that when they checked to see could he feel, did he have feeling, you know, his arms, his legs, that was good. To know they wasn't having a heart attack. Can you imagine living your life and not being able to feel, to touch anything? If you lose the ability to feel, you would touch something hot, you wouldn't even know it. You could touch something cold, you wouldn't even know it. One could cut themselves by accident and would only notice when there was blood streaming down. Because everything would be just somewhat numb. As I said once before, it is so amazing and so awesome the way God put the body together. That we have the ability to hear, to see, to taste, and to feel. That's where we're at today. Last one, I'm through with this series, okay? Feelings. When you think about feelings, from a spiritual standpoint, and trying to determine right and wrong from a feeling of emotional part, have to be very careful. Very dangerous to base your decision on something being right or wrong just based upon how I feel. Or how the rest of the world feels about it. So that's the way I feel about it. I'm not saying that being a Christian are people without feeling. I have feelings. When I hear about a brother or sister hurting, I feel for them. And I'm quite sure you do the same thing. But when it comes to making a decision, determining spiritual things as being right, as being wrong, as being a part of them, or staying away from them, you need to get away from your feelings. Because feelings can deceive you. I think someone said this evening before I got up with the lesson, said feelings are okay as long as they're based upon scripture and right. Let's take the feeling test. Hopefully you've done good on the hearing test. Hopefully you did good on the seeing test. And I hope you did good last week on the taste test. Now let's take the feeling test and bring it to an end. Ask you a couple of questions. simple couple of questions. Question number one is that, are you trying to determine something to be right based upon feelings? Think about that. Are you trying to determine something? Are you drawing a conclusion on something based upon your feelings? Pertaining to actions, conduct, and spiritual things, be careful not to rely on your feelings, but the Word of God as a true standard, a true guide. Let's look at a couple of things here. A passage most of us probably know, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know what I've learned is that if you flip over a couple of passages, chapter 16, verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We need to be careful as to what we think may seem right, feels right. Therefore, I'm going to be a part of it. Are you trying to determine something to be right based upon your feelings? Think about that. I think I was talking to someone the other day about someone here, I think. Maybe Richard was talking, maybe Thursday, about work. I said, if you go by your feelings all the time, I wouldn't ever go to work sometime. Some morning you wake up, I just don't want to work, you know? But you can't trust that, especially in the realm of spiritual things, in the realm of the things that are right and wrong, thus says the Word of God. Are you trying not to rely on God's word as a standard, but are you trying to determine something to be right based upon your feelings? And maybe not only your feelings, but the feelings of others. My grandmother felt this was right. My grandfather felt that was right. Therefore, we feel this is right. The question is it right? In Proverbs chapter 3, these are encouraging words, and it says in Proverbs chapter 3, if you would start at verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. An encouraging teaching from the writer of Proverbs to lean not on your own understanding. Trust in your own wisdom or your own way of thinking. But to trust in God and his words. Therefore, I can determine what is right properly apart from feelings. Are you trying to determine something to be right based upon feelings? You would be surprised how many people I've talked to, I'd probably be surprised how many people you've talked to, especially on religious matters and even on moral things. Everything from abortion to homosexuality. Everything from homosexuality to drinking. And how the conclusion comes from them that, well, I know the scripture says this, but this is the way I feel. A conclusion drawn on something that's wrong, they want to practice to be right, and it's drawn on feelings. Are you determining what's right based upon feelings? Many years ago when I was preaching in Illinois, a lady told me that, it's all right to play the lottery because, see, if I win the lottery, win that $2 million or $3 million, whatever the case may have been, It's okay because I'm going to give so much to the church. So she, those were her feelings about it. And, you know, I told her about what the scripture said. And I know, but this is the way I feel. It's okay now because I feel this way. Are you trying to determine something to be right based upon your feelings? In Ecclesiastes, I believe there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, last two verses, we can use these passages here. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, last two verses. Most people are very familiar with these passages. Most people probably can quote these passages. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." What does this have to do with feelings? Well, if I make decisions based upon my feelings as pertaining to what is right, and I make the wrong decisions, not according to God. See, I'm disrespecting God. I'm not turning to God's word and see what God's word has to say. I'm not respecting God by looking at what his passages have to say. I've already decided, based upon my feelings, I'll place my feelings above God. Disrespected God. I've disrespected his laws. All to hold on to my feelings. Are you trying to determine something to be right based upon your feelings? Dangerous way to go. Even Jesus says, you know the passage, John 12, 48, going down, a couple of passages down. Jesus talks about that great standard. That which you reject, that great standard, God's words, will be the standard which will judge us. It is the standard for right and wrong. I may have strong, or maybe you may have strong feelings about something, but are they right? I've said once before, and you may have done the same thing. I've been wrong about some things. And when I go back and I look at it, it was all about feelings. And very little to do with what thus saith the Lord. Are you determining what is right based upon feelings? Hopefully not. I am convinced that on the day of judgment, we won't be judged by feelings, but by the word of God. Feeling goes out the door. So where are you going to stand? In Psalms chapter 119, verse 160, the writer says that God's entire word is right. It's truth. So if God's word is all true, every bit of it, and it's right, then that should be which you should rely on to determine what is right. Not relying on one's feelings. The feelings test. Are you trying to determine something? Are you trying to make something right or be right in your life so you can practice and hold on to it based upon your feelings? If it's wrong, you got to let go of it. Repent of it. Let go. Take it and do the proof test. Pull up against the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Test all things. Question number two. As we take the feeling test, are you trying, hear me out, are you trying to determine something to be wrong based upon feelings? Are you trying to determine something to be wrong based upon feelings? This one takes a different little twist here. You know, there have been those who have said, well, you don't have the right to say that something is wrong. You don't have the right to try to judge others and say that's wrong. You're the one that's wrong. You're legalistic, narrow-minded. That group over there, they're wrong because they're saying everything that we're doing seems to be somewhat wrong. My point here is that people having their feelings, trying to have a feeling about something, trying to say that you're wrong because you're taking a stand on the scripture. For example, name calling or identifying false teachers, as one would say. There's been a lot written about that. People are very edgy about, oh, you don't call people names. You don't say who's teaching that false doctrine. Well, how are you going to know? This brother, he's wrong for using someone's name up there saying that brother teaches something false. Is it our job to follow Ephesians 5:11? Exposing those who work in fruits of darkness? How can I tell you that someone is teaching something false that I'm not supposed to give the name? If that's true, then Paul must be wrong. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. We'll start at verse 15. Most people know that one. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane, idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Some Bible say canker. Hymenaeus and Philetus are this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Wait a minute. Paul talks about false teachers teaching something that's wrong, and Paul even goes on to say he uses their name. Well, he's wrong. He shouldn't be doing that. Says Philetus and Hymenaeus. Paul points out names. Are you trying to determine something to be wrong based upon feelings? Because I feel that it's wrong for you to point out names, so you're wrong. I have the example that Paul leaves for us that we can follow. Paul said not only were they false teachers, they was carrying off
others with them. And I can't point out who it is. I'm wrong because I said John Johnson or Bob Thompson is teaching something false. Is it wrong for me to say that? Is it wrong for me to say I know for a fact from what I've seen is that Joyce Myers, John Hagee, Billy Graham, and a whole host of others, they are wrong in their teachings, especially about the rapture? Well, I feel you wrong for doing that. Are you trying to determine something to be wrong based upon your feelings? You don't have the right, Brother Richard or Brother Robin, to say that this congregation is practicing something on Scripture. You know you're wrong about that. If they're practicing something that unauthorized, that does not have the authority of God, then they're wrong. I don't care how you feel. Colossians 3:17 said, whatever you practice, if it's by word or deed, have the authority for it. Is Romans chapter 15, verse 1 down through about 4, what thus says the Scriptures? 1 Corinthians 4:6, not going to be beyond the things that are written. If there is a group of people that's doing so, then they're wrong. I don't care if you're a part of that group and you got all these feelings going on. You're just wrong. But I feel you're wrong because you're trying to say those people are wrong. You're judging those people. You're judging them. And it's wrong to be judging. It's wrong to make a judgment statement. Well, Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 20, John chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus talks about judging, righteous judgment. I can look at something and see whether it's right or wrong, bring it up to and measure it to the Scriptures and make that call. Not only in 2 Timothy 2:15 through 18 does Paul call names. In 1 Timothy 1:20, Paul called Alexander and Hymenaeus. Oh, he's wrong. He's not wrong. He's right. Your feelings are wrong. Are you trying to determine something to be wrong because of the way you feel about it? And then there's the old arguments of instrumental music, then the old argument of if it's baptism essential for a plan of salvation. And then there's the argument, well, hand clapping is okay, and all those things. And they put them in one little bunch and say, hey, if you talk against those things, hey, you're wrong. You need to stop judging people. Well, God will take care of that. That falls on the grace. They're wrong about that. They are wrong. So are you trying to determine something to be wrong based upon feelings? Third and last one. Pretty simple question here. Can you live by your feelings and please God? Think about this one. Last one of the feeling test. Can you live by your feelings? Feelings only. And please God. The answer, obviously no, you can't. You remember a long, long time ago, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, passage we all should be familiar with. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in him that walketh. It's not in man. Walketh to direct his own steps.
If I live my life apart from God's word, based upon my feelings and what I think, how it might be, I will not be pleasing to God. I'll go each and every direction. I may wake up one morning and say, well, you know, adultery is okay. Maybe 3 years down the line, I may think, well, you know, maybe fornication is all right. Maybe it's not too bad to lie. A little bit. Because I'm operating now on feelings. Can I live my life based upon feelings and please God? The answer is no. You know, in 1 Peter, look at 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, in verse 3, it says, as his divine power has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. God has given us everything we need to live, and it's not based upon feelings. We have his words to live by. You know what happens? What happens when I or you began to decide we're going to live our lives apart from the word of God and live just on feelings? What you're going to wind up doing, you're going to wind up adding, even taking away from what God taught. That's exactly what's going to happen. Now, if you're doing that, you're going to wind up violating Revelation 22, 18 through 19. You're going to wind up violating the old principle that Moses taught in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 6, and 7 through 8. Not tampering with the word of God. Can I live my life based upon feelings and please God? I believe that Paul makes a very, very clear in Colossians chapter 1. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Start at verse number 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul says that they prayed for the church of Colossae that they would have knowledge of God's will, wisdom, spiritual understanding, and by doing so and having these things, they would be able to walk what? Worthy. Fully pleasing him. If I am to live a life that is to be pleasing to God, I must have a knowledge of his will and understanding of it and put that application form and live a life of wisdom, bearing good fruits, walking worthy, pleasing him. Feeling test. Can you live by your feelings and please God? The answer is no. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, start at verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayers to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish your own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. The point that I draw from this is that if I live my life based upon feelings, I have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And by doing so, I'm not pleasing to God.
feeling test. Can you live your life simply based upon feelings and please God? No, you cannot. Hope you've done well on the test. Hope you've given the proper answers. As we close this lesson in this series, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, there's a call to examine yourself. From time to time, we all need to examine ourselves and see what are we really living by? Are we living by faith or living by feelings? Is the sin that you might be involved in as a Christian, is it because of your feeling? You just feel this is right? Okay, and if so, you're wrong. You're encouraged. If there is some sin that you've been led astray in, you ought to repent of that sin. Turn away from it. And do that which is right. As you examine yourself this evening, being a non-Christian, you realize, you know, I need to become a Christian. I want to do the things that are right. Why not this evening? As one person once said, tomorrow is not promised. Why not this evening? Why not be obedient to the gospel? If you believe it, if you're willing to repent and confess and be baptized, go into water and having your sin washed away, go in contact with the blood of Christ, rising up a new creature. If you're willing to do those things, then you can start a new life. Or you can just keep on relying on your feelings. Say, well, I feel Christ is not coming yet. I feel I got all this time. I feel. Like we said in our Bible class, I think maybe about 2 Wednesdays ago, you're gambling. Playing with time, you're gambling, and you're the loser. You're the loser. Let's be a winner. Let's do what's right. And we'll sing the invitation of song.